I have been fascinated by Victor Niederhofer for decades. I first learned about him in a New Yorker piece titled The Blow-Up Artist. I was intrigued by his unique strategies and by his tendencies to repeatedly boom and bust. That led me to have him on the podcast in 2017, after a recent crash, rebuilding, and crash again for the third time. He passed away this past summer, and I thought it was worth sharing some background. Between when he was booked to appear on the show at Bloomberg and the actual recording date in 2017, the third crash occurred. To his credit, he honored his commitment and showed up. This, despite his being clearly and deeply distraught. I've never told the podcast story while he was alive, but now that he has shuffled off this mortal coil, he won't be offended. I began with innocuous background questions about his education, squash, and teaching, and was surprised by his responses. From the very first question, it was obvious that he was not okay. Whatever I would ask would be greeted by a loud and heavy sigh, followed by a lengthy pause, and then a thoughtful response. This pattern question, sigh, pause, response, occurred after every single query. Some pauses were long, some were longer. The producer was in my ear the whole time, yelling, "This is awful, none of it is usable, let's tap out." But I waved her off. I knew that this was going to be valuable. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to hear a legendary trader discuss his career and own his own errors. I recall we recorded for over 90 minutes, maybe closer to 2 hours. In its raw form, the pauses would have made for terrible radio, too much dead air. But I also suspected it would be incredibly valuable. The only way to make it usable was to edit out all of the pauses and blank spaces. One, what was left was 54 minutes of me trying to urge him on, and Victor telling stories from memory. It was not smooth or slick, but it was important. RCM Alternatives 2 wrote up a lovely history of Victor and the lessons we can learn from his career, presented below. The lessons of Victor Niederhofer. Being right is a luxury good. Solvency is a necessity. Path dependency is the most underrated concept in finance. The sequence of returns matters as much as the returns. Your risk tolerance is irrelevant. Your clearing brokers is the one that counts. You can have diamond hands all day. Rifco doesn't care about your hands. When the margin clerk calls, you're not a Chicago PhD with a 17-year record. You're a line item getting hit at whatever the screen says. Leverage doesn't just amplify losses. It hands the exit decision to somebody else. A long winning streak isn't proof of safety. Sometimes it's the measurement of hidden risk. Sharpe sees the volatility of returns. It doesn't see the shape of the tail. Make a nickel 95 times and lose 10 bucks once, and Sharpe will call you Warren Buffett right up until the ambulance arrives. Same movie as LTCM. Same movie as XIV in February 2018. Same movie most cycles. Know which bet you're actually making. Vic used the same instrument for both legs in 1997 on two continents for the same underlying reason. If you're a contrarian expressing it through short options, you own the view and the funding risk and the convexity all at once, all pointing the same direction. Size for the trade you have, not the one you describe on a call. Drifting into areas where you don't have much expertise is about as red as flags get. Vic's own words. A short horizon statistical trader made an illiquid, levered, fundamental M bet partly on the basis of cigarette butt length. When the edge tightens and the capital's still there, the pull toward finding risk somewhere new is enormous. That's usually where the body's buried. Nobody sets a stop gain. This is his best line from a 2010 Slate interview, and almost nobody quotes it. If they go to Vegas with $10,000, they say, "I'm not going to spend more than $5,000. But they never say, "Hey, when I win a certain amount, that's when I'm going to quit." I'd had this incredible string of successes where I made 50, 100% year after year, but I didn't take account of this. I didn't have a stop gain, if you will. Every risk framework in the industry is built around losses. His diagnosis was that the winning is what got him, and the footnote nobody mentions. After 1997, he sued the CME in federal court in Illinois on behalf of his customers, alleging floor traders colluded to mark options against him at far above market prices to force him out. The exchange settled. He distributed the entire settlement to his clients without deducting a dollar for the substantial legal fees he'd run up. That's not a risk lesson. That's a character lesson, and it's worth more than most of the risk lessons. All of these are hugely insightful rules for anyone trading professionally. That first rule is a thing of literary beauty. Being right is a luxury good. Solvency is a necessity. Path dependency is the most underrated concept in finance. For me personally, there is an even bigger takeaway from his professional experiences, and it's this. If you set the course record on the straightaway but crash into the wall at the turn at the end, your record for the course does not count. The advantage of a boom is accumulating and retaining a pool of capital to work from. Booms followed by busts are the functional equivalent of never having that pile of capital in the first place. Previously, MIB, Victor Niederhofer on Making and Losing Fortunes, September 19, 2017. Sources: Right But Not Solvent, The Lessons of Victor Niederhofer. Attain Alternatives Blog, September 2, 2026. The Blow-Up Artist, by John Cassidy. The New Yorker, October 8, 2007. Blowing Up: How Nassim Taleb Turned the Inevitability of Disaster into an Investment Strategy, by Malcolm Gladwell. The New Yorker, April 15, 2002. 1. Bloomberg noted when it was published, edited for length and clarity, but that doesn't begin to explain what it was like fighting through those pauses during the actual recording process. 2. I found this article via a Google alert. The piece quotes me. I found it so compelling that it was worth excerpting.